It's like just writing on a piece of paper. God shows up over and over. We are continuing in our ongoing series that we're doing once a month where we have a testimony sermon. This morning we're going to be hearing from Ellen Brylowski. And as we prepare to listen to her, we're going to first read the story of Pentecost. Now, this is not to say that she has to give us a 15-point sermon on Pentecost. But it is the story that we celebrate today on this high holy day in Christianity. It also is a story that points to the way in which God shows up all the time, which is what Sharon just shared with us, reminding us of how God shows up even through a piece of paper. And Ellen will undoubtedly show us how God shows up in her life. And so I invite you as we prepare to listen for the word of God in Scripture, as well as in the living word, that Ellen is living. I invite you to listen for the word of God. So I'll first read our scripture for the day, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, the story of Pentecost. And then we'll invite Ellen up. And as we invite her up, we'll take a moment for silent prayer. You can be praying for her for courage. It is oftentimes scary or not scary to be up here until you get up here. And then it's a little nerve-wracking sometimes. And so we can be praying for her. And then we'll listen for her word and for the word God will give us through her. And at the end of the testimony, we'll again take a moment of silence just to give thanks. Give thanks to Ellen and give thanks to God for showing up as a form of discernment. So that's what we'll be doing during our sermon time today. So I invite you in the silence, in the scripture, and in the testimony to listen for the word of God. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. You can follow along if you'd like on your pew Bible on page 1056. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem at that time. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each one of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and even visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, saying, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these folks are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show signs in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon as if to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. We're going to invite Ellen to come forward, and as she does, Again, I want to invite you to a few moments of silent prayer, praying with and for her, that we might hear and understand and glimpse God's goodness just like in the scripture. So a big thank you to Ellen.
You know, if right now there was a wind that came in here and all of a sudden tongues of fire came in and landed on each one of us, I don't think it would surprise me at all. Because God shows up and His Spirit is here. And it's amazing because I titled this, God Shows Up. Who knew? My scripture for today is from 1 Corinthians 13. But for now, we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. So this is in the context of a chapter from 1 Corinthians 13, which a lot of people read at weddings because it's all about love. I don't think Paul here is talking about romantic love. He's talking about God's love, because John reminds us that God is love. So anytime you hear love, you can substitute God as well. I'm going to read it to you. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long or is patient and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things. But for now, we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith and hope and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Dallas Willard, who is now deceased, but he writes a lot about the disciples of following, the disciplines, excuse me, of following Jesus, says, the ability to see and the practice of seeing God and God's world comes through a process of seeking and growing in intimacy with Him. Sometimes it is in the simplest of things that we can see God working, blessing, loving us. But we have to be open to seeing this with our spiritual eyes. This happened to me just this week while shopping at Trader Joe's regarding a box of mochi cake mix. Now, mochi cake mix is a new product. I first tasted mochi cake at a potluck following a church service in Hawaii where I really felt God's love. So I'm not one for cake mixes, but when I saw mochi cake mix, I picked one up. And, you know, a little bit later I made it and I ate it and I really remembered how much I love mochi cake. So when I was in Trader Joe's this week, I said, I'm going to pick up another box. And I looked for the display and I didn't see it. So I went and looked where they have the baking mixes and I didn't see it. So when I went to check out, I asked the person there if they had any more. And he said, did you look? I said, he went with me and he looked and he couldn't find it. So we asked the manager, who said, oh, it's a new product. We ordered a certain amount and we had no idea that it was going to sell that fast. And he furthermore said, there isn't a box of mochi cake, not only in this store, but in any store, and would not be available for a year. And then he said, oh, but I have one box here. Would you like it? And then he further said, someone brought it back to the store yesterday because she didn't want it. Would you like it? I said, sure. So I added it to the things as I was checking out. And I was thinking about this and talking about it with the person who was the cashier. And he said, you're lucky. And I said, without thinking so much, I said, God is good. So then I started, I reflected on this, that I felt very loved. God is good, and He loved me through a box of mochi cake, okay? So I got three important little lessons from this experience. The first is, the Lord wants to bless us because it is His nature, because He is love. We can perceive this if we're paying attention, even in the most mundane aspects of our daily life, even in some very surprising ways. Number two, when this happens, we can testify. We can feel thankful and loved. We can give Him the glory. Just God is good. And number three, sometimes we have to be inconvenienced so that another person can receive the blessing. I was reflecting on the person who returned the box of mochi cake. You know, maybe she made one and didn't like it, or maybe she looked at it and she went, oh my goodness, this uses two eggs and you know, has and a quarter cup of butter. That's too much fat. I'm going to take this back. And of course, I hate taking things back to the store, so I imagine her grumbling like I would be grumbling about it. I have to go all the way back to the store. So I thought, so this person was inconvenienced so that another person, me, could receive the blessing. So sometimes we have to be inconvenienced And we may or may not have the privilege of seeing the love or the fruits of our labor or frustrations. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. We see in a mirror dimly. Communion, or to commune with someone, is defined by Webster's dictionary as having intimate conversation. There was nothing magical about mochi cake. Through it, though, I felt God's love, almost like being part of a private joke. So also, just as taking communion is an opportunity to remember the sacrifice our Lord made on our behalf, it's not the bread and the wine that are spiritual in themselves, but the communication with God is. We see in a mirror dimly. But Monty asked me to talk about where I see God working at the Friday night meal. So I have another story that involves a time when I received love and care, even though I was inconvenienced. Often the Friday night preparation, serving, and cleaning up is a team effort. Sometimes it involves people from our congregation, but several other groups come here to serve a meal. Usually things go well. We have supplies we need. We can find them. There is enough food. Our guests are happy to eat and socialize in peace. And there are enough people to help so we can all go home at a reasonable hour. Once in a while, though, things don't go quite so well. Once this past year, a group of young students made bag lunches to serve at our meal as a class project. Instead of sending anyone to help pass out the food, they dropped them off in the kitchen. I did not think that this would be a problem, because I imagined our guests would take a lunch bag and a drink and go somewhere and have a picnic. Just in case someone would want to sit at a table and eat, I set up the tables and made coffee and lemonade. What I didn't realize was that everyone decided to stay and eat in the dining room. I learned two important lessons that night. The first was that we are not just providing food for folks, we also provide a place for people to gather and socialize with their friends, a community. Now, I was very busy that night because I was by myself. I was beginning to feel a little bit like the little red hen, if you know that folk story. But some of our guests helped clean up, stacked the chairs, put away the tables, which I really appreciated, of course, and then they left. I still had several things to do before I could leave, and suddenly I felt alone, vulnerable, and afraid. It was dark, I was by myself, the church was unlocked, and I started to get like, no. Then it was time for my second important lesson. I was part of this community as well. And love and care go both ways. Everyone had gone, except for one of our guests. I will not name him, even though I know his name, but I will say that he has been a regular attender for years. But he had never, in my memory, stayed behind to help clean up. But he kept asking me for things to do to help. And he did whatever I asked him to do and ended up mopping the whole floor, which is usually the last thing we do before we leave. I realized, without me saying so, he understood my predicament and my anxiety, so he stayed to help me and, more importantly, to protect me. He was not going to leave until he knew I was safe. Once I realized that, I was very grateful. Thus, the night when I was most inconvenienced, I also received the most love and concern in return. Another important lesson of God's care, showing up in unexpected ways. But for now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now, I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. So I leave you with that scripture and one more from Galatians 6:9 that says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Amen.
So as our musicians come up, I want to invite us to a moment of prayer, just silence in yourself, giving thanks to Ellen for her very succinct and marvelous testimony, giving thanks to God showing up multiple ways, and asking yourself maybe the question that's asked to us in Acts chapter 2, what does this mean? So let's take a moment in silence. Thank you, God, for showing up. Thank you for showing up in Ellen. Thank you for showing up today. Thank you for opening our eyes to see how you are showing up in our lives. Amen. Thanks, Ellen. In that same spirit, I want to invite you to stand as you are able as we sing together our next hymn, "Every Time I Feel the Spirit." And may we have the courage, whether it's about cake mix or meals or whatever it might be, that when we feel that spirit, we might glimpse that God is inviting us to show up as well.